This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's welcome in for the first time. He's getting his camera fixed. I don't want to mess him up. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Sac State Hornets.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I got a crack in my phone. I dropped my phone today.
Man,
that line is on there.
Oh, that's a fresh break. Oh, I know that stung. I don't care.
That better or that?
No, that's perfect.
That's work.
I don't care how much money you have. It stings when you drop your phone.
It is. I'm supposed to have somebody come to the house and fix it. So I don't know if I'm ready to change it to the 16 yet. They got a whole. I'm going to change every cord that I have out in my house. So I'm not ready to do that.
That's
yet.
How they get you.
I know you're repping with the daughter this week. We couldn't help but just real quick.
You see the same thing.
Are you allowed to wear that?
You see the same thing.
Yeah, I'm allowed to wear that. I'm hired by Sacramento State.
Uh huh. I mean,
okay.
I'm asking the question because I've been trying to speak this into existence. Is there some uniformity going on? That's all I'm asking. You ain't even got to answer it. I'm just saying, putting it out there in the universe. Is there some uniformity going on?
I don't want to put anything out there yet until anything's done. So. You already know me. You already know how I do it.
Let's go, Mike. Hey, I remember doing an event with you, Doug Vlade. It was years ago out at the park. It was like some fan fest thing that I was doing for the other radio station. And you and Doug were on stage, and Vlade was up there. And I remember like the question of coaching came up. And you went and you stood and you put your arm around Vlade and kind of looked at him like, you're the guy who can make this happen. I know this is something that you've wanted to do forever. I know you've been doing it, you know, with your boys and all of that stuff in Arizona. But tell me, yo, what's it like? I mean, I know Sacramento isn't your home, but it is your home.
It's a second home to me. I spend half of my career here. One of my kids was born in Sacramento. My kids grew up in Sacramento. You know, they spent some of their good years in Sacramento. So I felt it was only right to come back to Sacramento and kind of start my coaching career there because it was kind of like in the NBA. I was in Vancouver. I got drafted by Vancouver, played 3 years. I remember somebody coming up to me like, hey, what happened? Do you still play? And I was like, damn, you know what I mean? So I was like, I still play. I'm in Vancouver. You know, so no one really knows my
That's
Vancouver
crazy.
Years.
You still play.
But then, I know. And then so I got to Sacramento and it's kind of like rejuvenated my career and kind of restarted my career. So I was kind of like, okay, I did it in basketball. Let's kind of go make this kind of same splash in coaching.
Did you always have an eye on coaching, like even in your playing days or anything? Because you're a point guard. That's just a natural coach. That's a natural position where you're a leader and teaching the game and seeing all sides of the game. But did you ever say, like while you were playing, yeah, I'm going to be on the sidelines at some point?
When you're playing, you never think the game's going to end. You think that, you know, may think it's never going to stop. And I didn't really want to coach until, you know, I coached my son since he was 9. So Michael, my son's 27 now. Wow. So I coached him since he was 9. And with him, it was just, okay, I'm going to put him in the right situation. I'm going to teach these kids the right things, the right way to play until they get to that next level. Now somebody can overtake them. Now I can be a father and watch. I'm not one of those helicopter dads that sit over and I want to watch and I want to make sure my son or my kid plays. I don't do that. So I would put him in the next situation and let somebody take him over while I sit back and watch and kind of teach them the right way things, like as a dad instead of as a coach. And I went into practice one day, and he was a freshman, and I saw the way the practice was being handled. And I remember talking to the AD, I'm like, I don't like this for my son. I want him to be able to learn and get in situations where when he goes to that next level, he'll be ahead of the eight ball. And he's like, you know, we don't know how long we're going to keep this coach. Would you like to coach? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll take over coaching. That's when I started with the high school. And then I fell in love with it. I fell in love with what I do for these kids and teaching these kids and grooming these men into young men.
I can't believe your son, 27. I'm shook off that, man. That's crazy. Time is up. Man,
he's big too, man. He's to that stage, but he trying to press his up on me a little bit. I said,
that's the wrong move. Dude, we didn't see Mike big. That's the wrong move, son.
Have you thought about, like, it's because, like, Mike, obviously you know the game. Like, you've been involved in the game basically your entire life in coaching, and that's just kind of relaying lessons that you've learned. But, man, you've got different animals to deal with in 2025, man. You got transfer portals. You've got NIL agreements. Like, how much thought have you given to that over the last few years leading to this moment, but really the last few weeks since you got this job?
It's different. It's different now. We're hitting the ground running. You know, we're allowed to deal with the portal stuff. And right now you can talk to all the people in the portal. And, you know, it's crazy. I got so many calls. I'm probably like 150 kids, like the first 2 days I was the coach. And, you know, I haven't got a chance to look at everything yet, but we're going to pull off with an amazing feat right here and come in here and try to switch this whole culture of Sacramento State around and turn this into a winning thing.
Mike, what would you say your style of play is? Like, if we go out there and we're watching Sac State, and we'll definitely be out there, are we going to be like, man, this is a up-and-down offensive team, or this is a grimy defensive team? Obviously, you want them to be able to do everything. But what do you want to hang your hat on as a coach for your team?
My thing, even though I didn't play much of it in the NBA, it's going to be I want them to play defense. You know, our thing's going to be off defense. So I want to be an up-tempo team. We're going to run and gun, get shots up. We're going to be in shape. So we're going to go back to the old school running. Mm-hmm. I want our team to pick up defensively and kind of wear this team out. You know, you get in games and teams play at your pace. We want teams to play at our pace, and they're not going to be ready for it. We will. So we're going to try to wear teams out in that aspect. You know, try to average 80 to 90 points a game and just get out there and play basketball and have fun while we're doing it.
And that influences the way you attack this transfer portal, right? It influences the way you recruit. Like, you have a style of play in mind, and you've got to go get young men who can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I want kids that can play. But first of all, I want good kids, good young men that aren't knuckleheads and come in here and put themselves in a good situation, and so I can look out for them and kind of teach them, you know, be a father figure for these kids and help these kids grow. But I want kids that can play, you know, man, and that are dogs and will get out there and will leave everything on the line for their teammates. I don't want selfish players. I want guys that, you know, is happy for the next player when they score, kind of like our Sacramento guys, to where everybody's having fun. You could mess around with everybody and not take anything to heart, but just have fun out there.
You know, Mike, you obviously, you've lived out here, you played out here, you know, X amount of years ago, and you probably know in the city the perception of Sac State and what it was as a university, commuter school, the sport, all the, it wasn't like high, right? It was just like, all right, it's whatever, it's Sac State. And now, in the last 18 to 24 months, the energy that has been injected into this university from Dr. Luke Wood and AD Mark Orr, and we got our guy, Coach Marion, and now you being a part of it. I mean, can you just talk about the energy and the perception and the good vibes that's going on with Sac State Athletics right now?
I mean, I think it all starts with Luke Wood, and the way that he's treated me and the way he's treated my family by coming in is second to none. Same thing with Mark Orr, and they're looking to do big things. You know, like you said, the football hiring and the way they've turned football around. I think it's going to go the same thing with basketball, and they want to see these. I mean, Sacramento is a sports town, and you have to win in order for them to even come out. They're always going to have your back no matter what, but you have to give them a winning situation for them to be able to go and want to follow that and want to be able to be a part of that as well. And I think by the hirings that they did, I think it's going to help a lot because, there are so many people, trying to down Sacramento State, down this, and, well, you have this. Well, no one will do this. And me, I love a situation to where you tell me I can't do it, I'm going to come in and do it. So I love to be back in Sacramento again. Like I said, it's a second home for me. And, it was a no-brainer for me coming back.
Hey, Brett asked a great question here in the chat. He said, who gets to wear number 10 for Sac State?
Nobody. Nobody wearing 10, man. Put that in the Raptors now.
Can you imagine these kids going, hey, I'm going to wear number 10? And Mike goes, no. You're actually not. 10,
number 10 is a good number. They're wearing it. Somebody's going to wear it. Somebody just Cole Pete, congratulations, go to the University of Arizona. I think he'll probably wear number 10. Got DeMar DeRozan wearing number 10 in Sacramento.
There you go.
A lot of 10s are retired around the NBA too. So, number 10 is a good number to wear for people.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Hey, Coach Mike Bibby.
Coach, that's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Coach, that's crazy.
It's tournament time. I'm predicting we're going to see you guys in tournament time sometime soon, but that's just me. But, man, I love the story of you wearing those foam posits in the national championship game. I've heard it before, but I can hear it 100 times, man. Can you just kind of talk about how that played out with you? It changed the game, really. You wearing those foam posits kind of changed the sneaker game, man, with like having debuts and stuff like that on that on that Final Four stage, man. So you were a trendsetter with that.
I'm telling you, it was like wearing a Timberland boot out there. I feel them today, and I'm like, there's no way that I was able to play in these. But when you're 18, you can play in anything. So, but back in those day, everybody wore uniforms that were matched their outfits. Wore shoes that matched their uniforms. Our uniforms are red and white. We wear red and white or navy and white. And Derek Lottenbach comes to our team, sits our whole team down, and it's like, hey, I got a shoe for you guys that I want you guys to wear. You don't have to wear, but I'm gonna give everybody a pair. And they're not your team color. Like he emphasized, it's not your team color, but they're not out yet. And as soon as he said they're not out yet, I stood up. I said, I'm wearing them. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what color they are. I'm wearing them. And so, ever since then, it was like, okay, I wore them throughout the whole tournament. There were some guys that wore them, some guys that didn't. Mm-hmm. I was one of those guys that kept them on the whole tournament. And it was just, I never thought it would turn into what it turned into. I wasn't thinking about turning into something that it was turned into. I just wanted to be, different and be like, hey, what does he have on? Because I was always a shoe guy when I was young. I was never able to get them all. But now, I was able to have a shoe that no one has. Like, okay, I'm going to go out there and stunt on them.
Yeah, that was iconic.
Now you have all of the shoes, like literally all of them. Al Biancani has told us stories about the shoes that you have. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite shoe in your collection?
I don't have a favorite shoe, but I would say the cap and gown 11s. They're all black. I just love all black shoes. I wear black a lot, and My best shoe that I could probably say it, like the all cap and gown 11s.
Yeah, love those. Look, hey, Mike, look, you ain't got to say nothing. I'm just talking here. Boy, that jump, man, look fire in that green. It looked fire. I ain't trying to get my man Mike in trouble. You ain't got to say nothing.
Just a casual observation. Just a casual observation. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Mike, before we let you go, I'm old enough to remember, I don't know how many people are, when you were a Kings analyst like 5 minutes ago. And we had, one of the biggest discussions is the Keon Malik starting six man thing that's going on right now. You're a part of one of the greatest conversations ever in that regard, is that you were starting. Bobby was really good, the six man, and it was a constant, what would be a better fit for Sacramento. Do you have an opinion on this the starting two spot for Sacramento?
You could always look at what I said. I said it from the first day coming in. I loved Malik coming off the bench, and I put him in those categories with the Lou Williams and Jamal Crawfords, those guys that won that award three times. And I just think on any team, he could be a starter. The same thing with Bobby Jackson. Like, Bobby just gave us so much energy coming off the bench. That was his role, and Bobby embraced it. Bobby got Sixth Man of the Year. I mean, it's just something that I think that fits him so good that you need that kind of firepower coming off the bench. And me, I'd start Keon Ellis and bring Malik off the bench just because when things start off slow, that they've been saying that since the beginning of the time. When things are slow, you need somebody off the bench with that firepower to give you a boost when the team's dragging at the beginning. I think Malik does that for them. I bring Malik off the bench. He's a great player. Like I say, he can start anywhere he wants to, but I think his best role is being the sixth man.
Coach Mike Bibby.
Man, this is awesome.
Coach Mike Bibby, awesome. Man. That's awesome. Wait. Congratulations,
it's
bro.
It's about to go up when we get the sack. Be ready. Everybody be ready when everybody coming out.
Yeah.
Just be ready. It's going to be a different look over there.
Yeah.
Hey, we're proud of you, bro, man. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I see you got your hair now, huh? I see that.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. Yeah, boy. Hey, Mike know what it is. Mike, you know why? You know why I had to grow my hair? But I got confused for you as you too many times. I'd be at them Monarchs games like, hey, you Mike Bibby? Like, no, man, I'm not. I had to grow it out, dog.
Oh, it looked good, man. Somebody, I was at the airport yesterday. Somebody thought I was Derek Jeter, man. I don't know, but I mean, you know, I mean, some people don't get to see people a lot, man. Yeah. So
all light skinned brothers look exactly the same. appreciate you, Mike. Can't wait for you to get out here, man. Yes, you know, sir. We're gonna be out there supporting you.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on. Man.